Hey folks, and welcome to this week's podcast. Today's guest is Jacob Smigel. He's actually a medical doctor, but he is a guest today because he is a collector of found sound, something he's been doing for years. He grew up in Las Vegas area, which is notorious for good thrift shops for some reason, I guess because people are coming and going all the time. So growing up, he would go to thrift shops, flea markets, etc., and buy cassette tapes that folks had recorded on, and sometimes he would find amazing documents of time, of people, of things, sometimes recorded without them knowing, by accident, or sometimes them testing a tape recorder. And it's, to me, part of what's so interesting about it is, if you give someone a tape recorder and say, hey, record some audio that I can listen to 20 years to know what life was like today, it won't be anything like the audio that someone happened to record 20 years ago. It just, the intention is so important. And it's very interesting because after I interviewed Jacob and after I played some of his new release called The Carol Tapes, this lady Carol, a little bit, she's definitely got some problems and definitely did not mean for these to be released. And some listeners commented and emailed me to say that they were just uncomfortable. They thought it was too voyeuristic. They did not know if it was ethically correct. And for me, I think it's fine, and I'm sure Jacob would withdraw them if Carol got in touch with him. But I'm curious what you think. It's definitely worth a discussion. You could email me if you like, michaels@wfmu.org. I also will tell you I got some emails from people saying, yes, they too had found some found sound over the year, and it's stuff that they treasure. So it's interesting, and usually at the end of my show, the last 2 minutes, I play some sort of spoken word stuff, and I have used some of stuff that Jacob has collected. There's a CD he put out years ago called Eavesdrop, which is some of the best of the stuff that he found on cassettes over the years, and we'll be hearing some of that after the interview with Jacob. We'll hear from Carol, and then we'll hear from some other of his best stuff he's found. So I hope you enjoy it. I do want to remind you the WFMU fundraiser is coming up, and this year I made 4 amazing beverage coasters. They're really kind of groovy and boss. They're yours if you pledge to this show. Go to wfmu.org/Michael and check them out. Your support is very much appreciated. Here is Jacob Smigel. I hope you enjoy it. I will talk to you soon. So folks who are fans of this show have heard some of Jacob Smigel's work over and over and over again in those last few minutes of the show. Those last few polarizing minutes of the show. Some of you hate them. Some of you love them. And there was a CD that came out a few years ago that was called Eavesdrop, A Wealth of Found Sound. And that's where I first found lots of this stuff. There's a new release from Jacob Smigel called The Carol Tapes. We're going to talk about all of this now. Jacob, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
So have I got this right? The stuff, Eavesdrop, the stuff that I first heard is stuff that you found on cassette tapes mostly in thrift shops. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Thrift shops, yard sales, occasionally in the trash. When I was doing my usual thrift store shopping, I guess, that I loved doing in my 20s, I stumbled upon a cassette, and then that sort of got me going. You know, I realized that there could be personal recordings there, and they're just sitting there. They're just languishing. And so it was very tempting to always bring a tape recorder with me, and whenever thrift store shopping, to really dedicate a little bit of time, just a few minutes, to see if there's anything worthwhile in the media bins.
It's interesting because some of the stuff is from answering machines that sort of didn't work quite right and recorded, you know, or people, I guess, picked, you know, in the olden days, an actual cassette tape answering machine could go on for a long time. Or people testing out things, or people making recordings just for themselves. There's all sort of different reasons. I find it all super fascinating. I assume you do as well. Why do you think this is so fascinating?
I think it's what got me going is, first of all, just that these recordings exist and that they could be found. There's something, you know, amazing about hearing this recording. It would be very boring, actually, if the person who recorded it were playing it back for themselves, but hearing it out of context 20 years later with some, you know, there's some irony that comes through the recording, or the situation is tense or emotional or really sad, just something comes out of it. And so the act of eavesdropping, or the voyeuristic element, is amazing. And it's amazing and creative the way that people use recording. Sometimes it's to record the audio of a road trip before we had, you know, cell phones with video capability or even camcorders to take with us on a trip. You would just record the audio, to record a tape letter to a friend or relative that you're sending, to record an argument or a phone conversation that's really heated. You're going to record your side of the conversation, maybe to defend yourself later, children playing with cassette recorders, anything, you know, just wild.
It's interesting because certainly if these folks had set down to make a tape for posterity, they would have done it completely different. But the part of what makes these so charming, I think, is that they were not created with that in mind at all.
They're candid, for sure. A lot of them, you know, the person doesn't know they're being recorded. They're accidentally recording themselves. For instance, the old 25-pound answering machine sitting on the kitchen counter, a lot of knobs on it. And if the phone rings four times and this thing starts off trying to record your conversation, there's a bit of a feedback. Hold on a second. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me turn this thing off. And then all you've done is silence the alarm. And now it's recording your conversation. It records the entirety of your conversation on the A side, flips over, auto flips to the B side, records the rest of your conversation, flips back to the A side. You hang up, you end the conversation. And now A side is preserved for incoming messages. But for the next 10 years, that conversation is captured on the B side. Eventually, you get rid of your answering machine, you give it to Goodwill. The tape is still in there. And on the B side is 30 minutes of a conversation from 10 years ago. Now, that's a common scenario.
So how many separate cassette tapes have you collected in your life?
God, probably hundreds. A lot of them are duds, though, I'll be honest with you. You know, the process was just taking a Walkman to a thrift store, looking for tapes that appear not commercially produced. And they're rarely labeled. That's how they even ended up in the thrift store in the first place, I think. Listen to them. If there's any talking on them, then I would set them aside. I used to listen to them in my 1994 Taurus, which had a tape deck in there. And I'd drive around and listen to them in there and then kind of hone them down and realize that, you know, this is just the recordings of a church sermon. And it just sounds, that's all you hear the entire time. It is talking, but there's nothing that can be gleaned from it. Or, you know, hey, this is a really intimate diary entry. Let me set that aside and kind of whittle it down to a few tapes that are valuable. And sometimes the whole tape is so good that I couldn't even pick a moment of it to stand out above the rest, or it's very difficult. And that is definitely the case with Carol.
Hmm. Yeah, Carol is the new release. I want to point out that folks can go to jacobsmigel.com or thecaroltapes.com. And at jacobsmigel.com, you can hear samples and stuff. And there's links to information. And, of course, folks can purchase them. And I do want to say that I see that the Carol tapes, which come on cassette tape, is the format, come with a pill box. Now, that's important because Carol is a lady who took a lot of diet pills. She had a lot of food binges. She was in Overeaters Anonymous. You claim, I think in the liner notes, that you think she's around 20 years old. She sounds a little older to me, but she's a...
God, she sounds older. She really does. Can't wrap my head around it.
Why is she making these tapes? So that, you know, that she sometimes she's talking to God. Mm-hmm. It's I don't know what...
That's
I guess
true.
It was therapy for her.
It is therapeutic. I want to say first, I have the utmost respect for Carol. I love her. She's almost like a Bukowski-like, dark person, but not producing poetry, just sort of lost in just sort of the throes of her life. And she is kind of coasting towards, free-falling towards a rock bottom from 1976 to 77, which spans her recordings. She does binge on food and then purge and then use diet pills. She definitely has issues with her weight and her appearance, and has several men in her life and several relationships, and things are a bit chaotic. And so we're just peering in. We have this weird window into this time in her life. I think she's making the recordings as part of an AA, an Alcoholics Anonymous or an Overeaters Anonymous sessions, or at least to supplement those to clear her thoughts, because at first she seems to be reading from a diary entries that are written, but then after that really loosens up and is just sort of winging it and just speaking on the fly.
It's weird because she's sort of narcissistic, but she's also totally doubts herself and doubts the direction she's going. And she, I think she wants to be in show business. She's studying. It's not exactly clear. It's quite a time capsule also. I mean, she's a super interesting lady who is just laying it all bare on these tapes.
It almost feels
like it's very voyeuristic.
Incredibly. I mean, it's raw. It's NC-17 material at best, at times.
And what's her thing with Mick Jagger?
She's obsessed with Mick Jagger. She loves him. And it's one of these themes that comes out in the recordings. I found sound can mean a lot of things. It could be audio recordings of jet planes taking off or of weird bleeps and bloops from a telephone line. But I like finding tracks of people laughing, crying, their emotions, some funny theme coming out and what they're saying that they don't even know is there. And Carol, one of those themes from Carol's tapes is Mick Jagger. It follows her the entire time. And she seems to have a imaginary love-hate relationship with him and Dylan too, who she mentions quite a bit. But more so Mick Jagger. I mean, she listens to his new album, listens to new Stones album, but then hates it and returns it. Just like everything else in her life, she's up, she's down. And she's in love with Mick Jagger and hates Mick Jagger at the same time, or really, despises him, or he disappoints her as often as he thrills her.
One of the things that is interesting to me is how you approach ownership of these, and you make it really clear that you don't own these. And in fact, the sales, the proceeds of from the Carol tapes, you're going to donate to Overeaters Anonymous.
Absolutely. In her honor. Yeah. Yeah. Because I have the utmost respect for Carol. I present her recordings really as just an amazing document, an amazing find, just a treasure, also a pop culture goldmine, as you alluded to, with the references to Winchell's and Jack in the Box and The Gap, all of which coexisted in 1976, which is awesome. She's just narrating through her life, so going to all these awesome places. So not only is there kind of this cool kind of 70s art school underbelly California Americana thing going on, and this grit, there's this window into this person's life. And I would hope that if the internet were to find Carol, if she's out there and she heard this recording, that she would be kind of, in a way, horrified but charmed.
Well, folks can, like I said earlier, go to jacobsmigel.com or thecaroltapes.com. And for a limited time, if you buy the Carol tapes, you get the pill box. And I assume it's a real working pill box.
Oh, that is definitely a real functioning pill counter meant to balance one's pills over a 7-day week. I've always been into novel merchandise for releases, and this seemed the most fitting for the Carol tapes for sure.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I find this stuff fascinating. I want to hear from Carol. Let's hear from Carol right now, and good luck with the project. And is this something you continue? Is it still something you do? You go out and search for these tapes?
You know, most of my hunting was done in the 2000s and about up to about 2012. After that, I feel like a lot of the tapes have just dried up, and the golden era of found sound maybe is, in that sense, is behind us. But I'm still mining basically the tapes that I collected back then. I still have some other recordings that I think are worthy of releasing.
All right, can't wait. Let's hear from Carol. And Jacob, thanks so much.
Pleasure, thank you.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the third day that I've made it through without eating. I've been smoking and drinking coffee, and tonight I had a large Diet 7-Up at McDonald's. I'm really tired and just really want to sleep, but I'm trying to get this down now. Anyway, I did some risky things, taking chances, trying new trips, Oh, what did happen is that at intermission, Kai wanted to get something to eat, and so I walked into the cafeteria with her, and I heard on the jukebox playing the end of Hot Stuff, so I sat down and listened to that, and it was good, as always, to hear Mick, And then we went back into the play, and after a few minutes, I said, please excuse me, I'm leaving. This is 12/9/76, about 9:30 p.m. What an exciting day. I went downtown after school and then started eating at that point. Ate a couple bags of potato chips or something. Stopped at the Burrito King and then went to see Sympathy for the Devil, and I walked out. Mick didn't interest me, but Keith interested me a lot. It was a delicious film. Then I went to 31 Flavors and came home and crashed at, I guess, OD'd on the food at about 11 o'clock. And at midnight, I got a call from David Freeman at the Westwood Horizons Hotel telling me that they had an emergency there. A fire had broken out and destroyed the electrical system, and they needed help with the employees and whatever. So I went over at midnight and worked from midnight till today at 11 a.m. It was really exciting with the fire department there and working on communications, and oh man, it was just really fantastic. I had no makeup on. I went totally naked to class, and I just had so much love in my heart and excitement from what I'd experienced. I loved Frank when I saw him. I loved everybody and had great rehearsal. And after rehearsal, went to the Sea Castle neighbors meeting at 6:30 and then ran out and was so hyped up. Put on a lot of weight in the last couple days. It's sure been an interesting life.
Yeah, Bob, this is you know who, and I'm you know where, and I like to do you know what when you get you know where.
Oh, no, no, I don't like that bitter charcoal. Their hamburgers are so bitter, it's like eating gall.
You know, it's funny. People think that I'm crazy when I said I don't like the charcoal broiled.
No, I don't either. I don't like it at all.
Now, tell me
something. Bitter.
How come that when I go to Sally's and Rudy, that's Sally's husband, broils on the outside there.
On the barbecue.
On the barbecue.
Yeah.
He broils those steaks. You know, you have never in your life tasted anything like it.
Well, of course I have, because I barbecued steaks myself. But that's
I mean,
not
the way he makes it. He makes pork chops. He makes everything. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, well, I make them good, too, when I barbecue outside. But he may use charcoal briquettes, but he doesn't pour extra charcoal over the meat to make it taste like that.
Oh, is that what it
is? Of course. A charcoal briquette wouldn't make your food taste that bitter. It's something they put on it. Of course, if you cook with wood, do you taste the wood? If you cook with gas, do you taste the gas?
Well, I never stop to think what they're doing with the
cook with barbecue, if you cook with charcoal, why would the charcoal make it taste different? Because you cook with gas, you don't taste it.
That's why
you broil in your oven, you don't taste the gas.
Well, that's why I couldn't understand why is it when Rudy makes it, it tastes so good. Mm. And when somebody, I go to a restaurant, I couldn't eat it.
Well, that's because they put that barbecue. And besides, it's not barbecued anyhow. It's just some charcoal crap put on it. And a lot of people love that charcoal taste, but I hate it myself.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
I'll tell you something. I was so disappointed.
Michael, I don't go in there to bug you. If I see you there, I know you're around. I will come in. I've got a couple of friends there, and I don't go too many places. You know, if you want to be there, fine, you be there, and I just won't go around. You know, I try not to go on your shift. I try not to go there when I think you're going to be there. I'm not trying to bug you. I'm not into your life at all. I don't care what you do, who you go with, or where it's going. You know, finally, I've let go of you. I just don't care anymore. Give me the $100 that you wrecked my car with. But you wrecked my car. It cost me $100. That's my car. Oh, you shit. You ain't never had thousands. And if you did, you never spent it on me. What 500 a year? With my car, and I put $400 back in your bank the next day. And I went and picked up $500 in bad checks the next day. And then I paid the bills for a month. That was $1,000. Hey, you know what? I don't owe you nothing. Out of 4 years, you supported me 1 month. Out of 4 years, you have wrecked 3 of my cars. You have put me in the hospital 3 or 4 times. I don't owe you nothing, and I'm not talking to you anymore.